As yet nobody welcomes you to the newly expanded Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
And today the polls are looking bad for the government. They need a Tampa-style distraction. We'll dive into the think tank, see if we can come up with one.
Oh no, some pusscats turned nasty. Find out what happened.
Important information from YouTube. Cats leaping backwards into sinks coming up. The judge from the Anna Nicole Smith case has been busted on the chuff. Mm. Is it the curse of Anna Nicole?
Ah, $100,000 worth of jewellery stolen brilliantly.
Elderly streakers, topless court appearances. Uh-huh. It's all coming up on Nude News.
Jamie from Big Brother, is he getting a bad rap?
Maybe he'll be appearing on our new segment, Cringing Embarrassment. We'll have movie subtitling disasters and Healthy Living the Ben Cousins Way. Oh, Ron Shelton.
Yeah,
Ron Shelton's going to be
here.
Love a bit of Ron Shelbo action. Get this. It's where yesterday we were joined by discount warplane warehouse kingpin, Dr. Brendan Nelson.
It was absolutely fantastic. It's a phenomenal experience. We naturally didn't break the speed limit. We stuck below the speed of sound.
That's what we do. It's the models. Mm. Out of sight. Out of mind here at Get This on Triple M around the nation. Good morning, everybody. It's me, Tony Martin. It's Ed Cavalli.
Hello.
And, of course, Richard Marsal.
Yes.
Pushing buttons.
Yes.
Joining us in the next hour, Ryan Shelton.
Mm.
Right. Not Ron Shelton, like I said.
No, sir.
Who is Ron Shelton?
He sounds familiar. Is he involved?
The drummer in Genesis.
The director of Bull Durham. You should have known that one.
Okay. Come on, Richard.
Enough movie references. Yes. I think the sports news today. What's happened with that Ben Cousins?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I thought you were going to play the sports sting. And I was in panic stations.
Didn't have anything ready?
No.
Let the sting do all the work. No. It is Yaz after all.
Mm.
I don't know much about that Ben Cousins.
Well, I mean, he's a star West Coast Eagle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, that goes without
a Weagle.
He's a Brownlow medal winner.
Good on him.
He excelled last year in the grand final.
Right. Yeah.
And has had a string of well-publicised incidents out of school.
The suggestions of drugs.
Yep.
I don't know if that's true, but he is calling his house the Cousins Laboratories. I'm not sure if that's is that sporting humour. We need to get back onto safe ground. What about Nude News?
Oh.
Have we got a musical intro? It's time for Nude News.
Everybody nude. Everybody nude. Nude News. Everybody nude. Everybody nude. Nude News. Everybody nude. Everybody nude.
Okay, whoa. The bar has been raised.
They're quite demanding, those guys.
And listen to this from Perth in Scotland. Yeah. They've got their own Perth over there. Detectives are hunting a naked old age pensioner who has been spotted joyriding around local bowling greens on a scooter for the disabled.
Wow.
One witness called the police, but the elderly streaker then put his clothes back on and drove off, thus blending into the crowd. They failed to find the mystery man believed to be in his 70s. Wow, streaker on one of them scooters.
Poor old Mr. Bullsack. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, they call him the streak.
Oh, no, he's very slowly coming over here again. I'm so old, it takes a long time to turn my head. Oh, gosh, it's not all the way to... Ah, I saw some stuff.
Pull over, driver.
What a car chase.
Oh, he's put his clothes back on. We'll never catch him now.
A lot of wind drag.
In the paper today, there is an artist's impression of the Nads. Please call Crime Stoppers if you recognise them. Watch out for that bloke. Hey, here's some nude news from New Zealand.
Mm.
A witness in a Palmerston
courtroom
has given evidence while topless.
Yes.
Now, this was a case against an alternative medicine practitioner who has been accused of touching the breasts of his patients. Now, that's obviously not funny.
Yeah, but maybe that's his approach.
Oh, right.
Very alternative medicine.
Oh, alternative medicine.
Could work.
But, you know, the idea of someone being topless in the courtroom, it says that they needed the woman to be topless to demonstrate how the bloke's rigorous massaging had caused her bra to fall to the ground, Benny Hill style.
Yes!
There we are.
Gee, so it's a serious case, but you've got topless women in the courtroom.
Oh, yeah.
All right, could we please have some decorum in the court, ladies and gentlemen? For this demonstration, let's keep it tasteful. Bailiff?
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Oh, there we go. You can testify, but you can't touch. Okay. I don't know. There'd be a sensitive...
I've got a different It's in the article because we all have the same article.
Yeah, I noticed that we bought. I found it in the Adelaide Advertiser.
I got the Courier Mail's version.
Yeah.
And Rich has got a first-hand account. but it says here that the rigorous massaging caused her bra to shake free, exposing her breast to the court.
Mm.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my mum wanted me to become a lawyer when I was growing up, and I thought, nah, I might go to the acting game. I think I was wrong.
Why can't Zara Gard Wilson get up to some
give some evidence?
Oh, that'd be a fun courtroom. Yeah. Erection, Your Honour! Sustain. Hello.
Good morning.
He's lightning on those this morning, Rich.
Are we all done? Have we emptied out that sorry bag of jokes?
I think so.
You're going back for a second pass. Look at you. Here's a story that really, you don't want to read this over breakfast. Talk show host Rosie O'Donnell hangs nude upside down for up to 30 minutes a day to improve her mental state. Gee, the image of a nude Rosie O'Donnell hanging upside down, it certainly quickens my mental step. Get out of there. Hanging upside down for 30 minutes, however, does not improve the Flintstones in Viva Rock Vegas. So hanging upside, is that a serious theory? The idea is the blood goes to your head, so
blood
therefore
goes to the head.
The brain's working more.
Then when you get back down, your brain's so full of blood that you can think better.
Ah, maybe we should start doing that in the studio.
I like that.
So hang on, so people emerging from fun park power blackouts are suddenly markedly more intelligent.
Geniuses.
People staggering off the whirlpool.
Oh, yeah.
I'm much smarter now.
Oh, yeah. I think Pythagoras was on a very ancient roller coaster that got stuck and came down and thought,
bam.
Triangles. Yep. I think I got something, guys.
I see now that the ghost train is merely an amalgam of tatty fairground tricks. I couldn't see it before. That hanging upside down has cleared my brain.
Do they do a ghost train? I haven't seen a ghost train for a long time. Yeah. Do they still do the guy in the latex mask jumping out? And it's clearly the guy that just sold you the ticket. They've still got the bow tie and the waistcoat on underneath the rubber mask.
One by one, all the tricks in the ghost train just collapse and they're not replaced. I think I went on a ghost train that was just empty Coke cans hanging on bits of string, just banging into your head for like 2 minutes. That's all it was. This is quite scary. Nikki's holding up enough fingers to suggest that is the end of nude news.
Oh. Everybody nude, everybody nude, nude news. Everybody nude, everybody nude, nude news. Everybody nude, everybody nude, everybody nude, nude news. Nude news.
And that's Thirsty Merc, 20 good reasons here at Get This on Triple M. Good morning, everybody around the nation. We had some alarming courtroom testimony earlier.
But if that alternative medicine practitioner gets struck off the alternative, whatever it is, and his act pretty much is he can massage so vigorously that bras fall off.
Yes.
Dinner theatre circuit.
Oh,
wow.
Absolutely.
Or maybe the Adelaide busking competition.
Is that on?
Yeah, it is on.
She says some sad photos in the Advertiser. Busker entertains crowd. Four people standing around.
It's the city of action.
What have you got there, Richard?
The International Buskers Festival.
Oh,
of course, Adelaide is the city of buskers.
It is.
Glenn Nicholas.
How annoying.
Yes.
Eddie Izzard, I think, has performed as a busker, like early, like in the 80s.
Oh, yep.
But there's lots of guys vying for the prize.
Everyone leather pants to a man.
There's about 17 straitjacket acts.
Everyone called Dragon or Warlock.
Yeah.
Do we have any representatives there?
No, but we should do.
Yeah. They're all from England, aren't they?
My friend used to be in a saxophone outfit, and they used to play around Christmas time in Rundle Mall.
Dressed as a saxophone?
Called Group Sax.
Oh.
Okay.
Good name.
Okay, look, that reminds me of, we're looking for the worst headline of the year. We're always doing that. Last year's winner was Lachey Breaky Heart.
Yeah.
Ouch. Mm. Look at this from The Telegraph yesterday about the Pauline Hanson-David Oldfield affair. Oh, yes. Please sexplain.
Oh.
Is that our leading contender?
Yeah, that's winning so far.
And then on the back of that, I've just noticed there's a picture of that Morris Yemma. Mm. Premier Yemma, New South Wales. Always photographed, it looks to me like, you know that thing they do in the women's mags when they want to run a story about somebody who's on the gear?
On the gear.
So what they do is they get some footage of the person and you step through the frames until they've got their eyes half open.
Yep. Yeah.
They're just finishing a blink and so their eyes are half open, they look kind of off their nut.
Mm.
It seems that you get that no matter when you do a picture of Morris Yemma. He always looks like it's the eyes are half open.
Well, he's always just been rustled out of bed. What? What a transport? What are you talking about?
He's got that just coming home from the Viper Club look. No matter when you take a shot of him. We've got off the subject court cases. We mentioned court cases.
Oh, good, good.
What about Phil Spector's new wig? Oh, that's helping, isn't it?
Oh, dear.
The crazy afro was at least funny.
Distracting.
This is just creepy, possibly involved in JonBenet case style me. Maybe is that helping endear him to the jury?
But maybe there's an opening in the band Hanson and he's going for it. That's the look he's going for.
So there. Hanson needs somebody who looks like an elderly morphine addict from the 18th century.
Look at that. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Is there film? Is there going to be cameras in the courtroom? Is he going to be wearing a different one every day?
That's a good idea. Funny wig day. Everybody gets to wear one.
And I'd like to think that the judge...
Hang on. Maybe he's going to auction them off after each day on eBay pay for the massive legal fees.
Maybe just all the people in the courtroom, instead of wearing those, barrister's wigs, just all get the Spectre wigs on.
Spectre wigs.
Great. Going with the afro today or the down Robert Reed?
Sorry, Sorry, Your Honour, my afro is getting quite hard to manage. Can't hear a word. Can't hear a word of what's being said.
The judge just with a Napoleon Dynamite up top. And then, of course, the judge. I'd like to think that they could get the judge from the Anna Nicole Smith case.
What's he up to?
Well, he's been arrested in a park smoking a joint. It's the curse of Anna Nicole. Everyone even vaguely related to that case. It just won't die. The story will not die.
He's taking a leaf out of the Colombian drug lords dealing kind of feeling. If you're going to do drugs, kids, don't do them.
No, of course not.
But not in a park.
No.
You'll get busted.
Yeah.
Parks are open places, you know?
Yeah. You think a judge might be across that idea?
Yeah.
But I guess after that case, it's just...
He was very upset. The case was very upsetting for him. Yeah. Maybe he's turned to the reefer to help him cope.
Yeah. I'm sure he has. Does that lead us to science, does it, Richard Marsden?
Hoverboard news.
How's the bloke?
Do you have some hoverboard news?
The 70-year-old bloke with his anti-gravity machine. Have we got any updates
on that?
There's
no updates on him.
Deep in Gippsland, a man has a wheelbarrow that can reverse gravity.
Yeah.
He is our scientist of the year.
At the moment, I'm just ruffling. Who's the opposition leader in New South Wales?
Debnam.
Yeah.
Every time he's answering a question, it's like, okay, just let me find that.
Is that your Peter Debnam, is it?
I don't know.
Very
just
good.
Rustle.
Debnam. Science news, please, Mr. Marsden.
Well, there's some news actually through that ice cream can actually help a woman conceive. Ice cream.
Yeah.
What a fun way to help you through the conception process.
Because
often, you know, a lot of people go to yoga. Yeah. They play around with different foods.
Some people have sex.
They do.
Nutcases.
And that's crazy. The study has found that eating high-fat dairy foods, such as ice cream, reduces the risk of ovulation failure. This is all a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
The research involved 18,555 women aged 24 to 42 of different ages, socioeconomic backgrounds, and races as well. Mm. The scientists are still wondering why white, Caucasian, and African women conceive successfully, while the pink strawberry-flavoured ones were left behind.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. That's amazing news from the world of science, Ed.
That's a sweet joke.
Not tonight, dear. I have an ice cream headache.
That is so good.
Get that up.
You know what? We're going to go out on that.
Are you serious?
I loved it, Rich.
I've got more science news coming
next.
I'll get this. That's the Jovi. You give love a bad name. Here we get this. It's Triple M, no matter where you're listening. And don't forget to visit the Triple M website, and in particular, the Get This website.
The union has described the site as a death trap.
Oh, that's not true.
That's unfair.
Because we've got two new podcasts up.
Right.
Well, firstly, there's the Boilcast with Danny Boyle. That's still up there. Podcast 66 has gone up. That's got, poor old Mr. Ballsack is on there.
Poor old
the origins.
Yeah. Now, people are hearing us say that and they think we're just.
Roll, Mr. Ballsack, who could hang a name on you?
People are saying, what are you talking about? It was a letter to Crystal's Page and Zoo magazine.
Flea from Toowoomba was worried about teabagging. He wanted to know whether testes were important.
Yes.
Crystal has assured him that they are.
Yep.
And the practice of teabagging becomes more common.
Mm. That doesn't explain it at all.
Doesn't it?
Well, you didn't use the phrase poor old Mr. Ballsack.
Poor old Mr. Ballsack called in.
Yeah.
And said that
he was being ignored.
Exactly.
It's all explained on Podcast 66.
Yep.
So much on there. A bit of Peter Costello's evidence about Kevin Rudd. That episode where we went AM is on there. Mm. Then, when you think that's probably enough.
Oh, I'm sick of it.
Podcast 67 is up there. Each one is 40 minutes.
Wow.
Not just collars and cuffs.
Nope.
Not just snipping off the back announcers.
No, sir.
It's like an album every time.
Yep.
So much editing goes on.
Great. Download that, 67.
You'd think our show was really slick every day if you listen to the podcast.
It sounds pretty.
Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are in 67 and stuff about attention deficit, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's all in there.
Sorry.
Well done.
Two podcasts up today. Check them out. In the meantime, a lot of letters inquiring about Jamie from Big Brother, the winner. Remember Jamie from last year? So good. Being here, so good. And we haven't managed to find that poetry. We must dig that out.
No, that's okay.
What's the latest?
Well, yesterday we said that he's, you know, obviously doing his bit for humanity by telling buskers to F off. But here it is. There was an article in Zoo saying that he spent 100,000, he himself saying that he'd spent 100,000 bucks partying, you know, drinking booze.
$100,000 just now, on booze. Now, who is he, Glenn Mills?
Now, look at what a good party it is. Look at that photograph. A man in a kind of beanie with a cap on the front, wearing two singlets, drinking a beer in his kitchen by himself.
Going the chug.
I want a party with you, bro.
So is that the prize money from Big Brother?
No, he's put that away somewhere, apparently. He's invested it in pictures of himself. Anyway, but here we go. Apparently not true.
Oh, really?
Apparently, it was a Zoo magazine kind of staged bit of beat up. Jamie said it's not actually true. I didn't spend $100,000 on booze.
That Zoo magazine. If we can't trust Zoo, who can we trust?
This is what I'm saying. Maybe, and I don't want to, I don't want to say this, but maybe Flea's question about teabagging was written by someone else.
Oh, no. I'll be questioning everything now. Nah, Keely's breast. I'll be questioning them now.
Do they not have their own light source? You know. Because here we get to TV Week, because we know that people perhaps... write in, how do I get myself out of this, Tone? You're so much better at allegedly. You're so much better at it.
Just chucking allegedly in.
Allegedly, the letters in TV Week are written by who?
Publicists.
That's it.
For the TV
Sizzle
networks.
Merchants. Mm. Okay, listen to this. Bring back Mr. Squiggle, the man from the moon. It was such an iconic show. Who says that? I fondly remember the grumpy blackboard telling Squiggle to hurry up from Rhiannon. Now, somehow, thankfully for Rhiannon, oh, look at this. The editor's written back, said, I'm with you, Rhiannon. Oh, hopefully the ABC will you know, answer your plea and put it back on the box. But you can buy all the DVDs now.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I mean, it could be written by real people.
Do you reckon?
Could be like those people you hear in radio promotions talking about variety all the time.
I love variety. When I get to my workday and I need the laughs I need to get me through my workday, I turn to the show with the laugh day works I need.
Was that even a sentence?
I think so.
Laugh day works.
Okay, how are we going for time, Nikki?
Good.
We're going good because Mr. Marsland is sitting on gold. I just know he is.
Am I really?
Are you?
How so?
I can see something in front of you. Don't be shy, Mr. Marsland.
No, that was for nude news, but it didn't end up happening.
Hand it over. What
You've
is
probably
this?
Seen that.
In breaking nude far out.
Yeah, in breaking nude news.
You've got some breaking nude news, have you? This is the one about the Victoria Police Constable exposing her breast while in uniform, sending it to her boyfriend, and then it gets circulated through the force's internal email. How does that happen, though?
But what is the problem? Mm. It's okay. I'm sure that you know, people in uniform who wear uniforms every day, emergency service workers put them on to enhance the lovemaking process in the bedroom. Why is that an issue?
I just think if you're taking a photograph of yourself, Norgs akimbo, don't CC it to everybody.
No. No, that's true.
Just don't CC it.
That's true.
BCC it.
Maybe take it to somebody.
Yeah, that's a good
Maybe
idea.
Don't email it two offices away. Maybe just take it and plonk it on their desk. It's much safer for work.
I mean, or go and show them live.
Mm.
Yeah. You know? Do it in the office.
Just pop down to the police lineup.
Bang.
And hello.
Yeah.
She sent it on just thinking, what will be the fascination with a policewoman in the nude wearing a police uniform? None at all.
No.
This won't be forwarded on like crazy.
The safest thing to do if you're at work, I've done it, and I recommend it to everyone, is don't even enable your email at all.
Ah, you are so good at that.
I got in this year, Nikki told me I had 900 emails banked up from people who'd been emailing me from last April.
Yep.
And then again in June going, why are you so rude? You never call back. But it saves so much time.
Yeah. Guys, I have, on a serious note, as a teenager, feeling confident about your body can be hard. Even exercising can make you feel uncomfortable when you think that people are staring at you at the gym or when you're jogging. But The Biggest Loser has really made me open my eyes. If you set your mind towards it, you can achieve your weight loss goal. I will achieve mine so there can be hope for everyone else out there. Thank you, Biggest Loser.
And that's to the TV Week.
That's from Danny to the TV Week.
Danny from 10 Publicity.
Come on.
Don't enable your email at work. That is my advice.
Right.
Because by not answering any of your emails, you're saving so much time. that we had before the time-saving device of email was invented. Think about it.
Yeah.
We have some important stuff to talk about. The government are in trouble.
Uh-oh.
We're going to do something.
Need help.
Yeah. You wouldn't think you'd
get him out of this.
Hear it on this show. A distraction is what they need. A new tamper. We're going to find one next.
Get this.
I'm angry about them, and I don't pretend for a moment they're not damaging.
Brought to you by Rodog, who plays in a metal band, collects phantom comics, and hates hippies. He's our choice to replace Senator Santoro.
Oh, yeah, let's get this around the nation coming to you live from the Cousins Laboratories. Let's get straight to music today, shall we? Okay. I don't know. What about some xylophone? We don't have a lot of xylophone on the show.
No, definitely not.
Can you play the guitar yet?
Yeah, but I only know kind of like one chord and it's kind of tinny.
Okay, well, yeah. I'll get us started. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
How's that?
It's a bit repetitive. I can't keep doing this on the xylophone forever. Richard, can you inject some action or something?
Rock out?
Do it!
Whoa!
Bang!
Rastafari.
Yeah. Still not convinced. Can you do a dodgy Michael Hutchence impression?
Oh, okay.
That's NXS here at Get This on Triple M. Everywhere. Andrew has called up to say that song sounds like the girl from Ipanema.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
By Antonio Carlos Jobim, if I remember correctly. Let's get up Talkback Mountain. What is going on in Parliament?
I love that new theme.
It's very avant-garde, isn't it?
I love it. So good. Psychedelia.
It's going to be a good segment, clearly.
Oh, man.
You know, John Howard, he's basically standing on one side of Parliament, firing guns at the other side.
Yeah.
But the corpses are falling behind him.
I know.
What's going on there?
It's tracer bullets.
It's not working.
Poor little guy.
Senator Santoro is gone. We're making it much easier for newsreaders.
Have we found a whole bunch of grabs featuring the word Santo so we can use them for when Santo Chilaro?
I don't know who you're speaking of.
Comes in.
Do you mean Snato Garo?
Sorry, yes. But it's not often that there are as many in the news.
I know. I was sitting at home thinking that. I was going, should I start a Santo file? And I'm sure he's sitting at home thinking, that's what they'll be doing. That's what he'd expect us to do.
So we shan't do it then.
No, we'll just drag out some more of his accordion work from the late 80s, like we usually do when Snato drops by.
Miss him.
What do the government need to do? I mean, they're falling in the polls. None of their dirty tricks seem to be working.
No, nothing's sticking.
Costello's out of ideas.
Out of there.
Abbott's out of ideas.
He's just in the Speedos, you know, hanging around Manly, polling the electorate.
Is he doing that now?
Oh, every time, if you go to Manly, look out, because he'll be rubbing up against you in the Speedos.
Tony Abbott, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
Debnam is in the Speedos.
Debnam's holding down the east side of Sydney in the Speedos. So at the Twin Towers of Speedo work. And then over on the north side, Abbott's rubbing shoulders.
Well, they need a distraction. They need a... Remember when the Tampa just...
Beautiful.
Cruised
beautiful.
In? It was as though it was straight from central casting. It was as though a week before Howard had just called up. Could you send 350 of them? I need them to arrive on this date and have them sort of look like they're chucking their kids into the sea, but not actually.
That would, yes, sure, no problem, yep.
They need a new tamper.
Yeah.
They've got that sort of kind of ID card idea. Have you seen that? It's like an ID
card.
It's not actually an ID card. It's not compulsory. That's, if you want Medicare, you can't get any unless you've got it, but it's not compulsory.
See, that's not going to, you know.
But that's one of those things, the ID card, where it's an ID card in nascent form, ready to go. So then if there's any terrorism between now and the election, click, hit the button, bang, ID card. No one will have a problem with it then.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
It's a sleeper.
Yeah, it's a sleeper.
Okay.
But they need something
more. They need a big one. They need like it was the interest rates thing last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
The interest rates are going to go up quickly. Put an ad in the paper and they'll go up anyway.
Don't mention inflation.
Fault.
Just concentrate on the
interest rates. Yeah. How about this? Everybody hates a dole bludger.
Yeah,
I watched Today Tonight and I'm pretty sure that everyone hates a dole bludger.
Right.
How about this? They've actually caught a bunch of sort of welfare cheats, as they're calling them.
Yeah, yeah.
A woman who invented 20 children has claimed $622,000 in payments.
Fake children.
She's invented 20 children.
Right.
Instead of getting a job, every time she gets a bit low on cash, she just invents a kid. Police became suspicious when she had 3 kids the week before the PlayStation 3 came out. And they went round there to find out what was going on. And she's had to dress up the dog, put a bonnet on the dog, try and breastfeed it. She's had to, you know, lamps.
Drawing a face on a rock. That's my youngest.
She's invented 20. So, yeah. You know, she's getting the baby bonus 20 times over. And it's only when she got to 20 they were like, you know that woman with 19 kids? Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, what a workload she must have. She's had another one. That's it. It's a rort. That's a rort.
So what are you saying?
Get the team together.
We should turn on her.
We turn on her and her people, Dole Bludgers.
So we focus the hatred on Dole Bludgers.
Dole Bludgers.
Okay.
Because they'll vote green, apparently.
Right.
And that's your worst. That's the big problem.
Yeah, yeah.
The government need a distraction. What about if John Howard was to turn up at Parliament every day in a different Phil Spector wig?
Yeah.
You know, nobody would be asking about Santoro's shares or people using stationery illegally because they'd be so mesmerised by the parade of do's. What's he going to have tomorrow? And then maybe if he could be arrested in a park having a chuff like the Anna Nicole Judge. See, if he did a few things like that...
Get it going.
Less tricky questions and more likable to the young voters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. What ideas?
The government need a lovable, chubby everyman.
Oh, yeah.
A chubby everyman.
Like the guy who plays for Bermuda.
The spinner.
In the World Cup.
In
the cricket. He's taken all these specky catches. He's an amazing all-rounder. Right. And he's sort of, like, I thought it was a new Niles Barkley film clip. But it was, in fact, this guy from Bermuda who everyone loves. He's become a cult hero of the World Cup.
Yeah.
That's what the government needs.
A lovable fat bloke. Do they have a lovable fat bloke? Because everyone loved Kim Beazley.
Yeah.
Even, you know, people on the other side love Kim Beazley. Mm-hmm. He's a lovable fat bloke.
Rubbing his belly for luck, giggling him.
All right, Phil.
See you guys.
Spector,
I mean, tickling him.
Cross off the wigs. Cross off the chuff in the park.
Yeah.
Cross off the hating the Dole Bludgers.
Nah, all good stuff.
Ways the government can turn the polls around. As mad as you like, people, we will accept anything.
Yeah, this is a fruit session. You know, grab some mushrooms, have a bite, give us a ring.
If you think poor old Mr. Ballsack is the answer,
yeah.
Anything at all, call us 1-3-3-5-3. Blur, song 2, the shortest song on radio. Always a challenge when you're doing a phone segment. And we are. It's Talkback Mountain. Talkback Mountain.
Like it, Rich. Okay.
We're helping the government today. We're not chucking stuff at them like we usually are. We're saying, let's help them turn the polls around by coming up with a distraction.
That's what they need.
You know, if John Howard
has shed his glasses and clothes for his latest role.
If that was a news story, who would be thinking about Santo Santoro? Yeah.
Not me.
I'd just be going, when's the nude work, John? Who's got a great idea?
John, how are you?
Hey, guys.
What are they going to do?
Oh, I reckon they should start picking on salty snacks like chips and...
That's a good idea. Oh, yes, because whenever, you know, you need to... nobody gets worried if you demonise snacks, like soft drinks, salty snacks.
So you think they're going to ride the wave of anti-kettle chip fever all the way to the next election?
Yeah, stop all the fatty
eating
and take it to chips.
There you go.
Yeah, so whenever John Howard gets up at a press conference and someone throws a tricky question at him, it should just be, let's forget that. What about salty snacks? Look at this footage from last night news of fat people wobbling up the street seen only from the neck down. What are we doing about that?
Shocking. Thank you, John.
Distract him.
Hi, Ben.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Good. What are they going to do?
Well, I was thinking that we could maybe stage a moon landing.
Like
Capricorn 1.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, we could send Abbott and Costello up to Warner Brothers Movie World, and, you know, the budget might not be able to handle getting a spaceship up in the up on the moon, but Abbott and Costello up to Movie World, and we'll knock something out and have the Americans shaking in their boots.
You know what they could do? They could just join the cast of the Police Academy. Hilarious. Exactly. Oh, there you go. Tony Abbott on sound effects.
Yep. Yeah.
Costello is Hightower. Brilliant. Brilliant. I like it, Ben.
I'm already distracted.
Same here.
I'm not thinking about the poll.
No, I think you're absolutely onto something. Well done.
I just want Abbott and Costello to go to the moon. Okay, let's keep distracting.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
What are we going to do?
Well, my plan was, as an homage to the film Canadian Bacon, we should stage a phony war with New Zealand.
Oh, good idea. Canadian Bacon style. What would be the trigger for the war, do you think?
No idea, just Kiwi Dole Bludgers or whatever.
Yeah, Kiwi Dole Bludgers. Russell Crowe's new album.
Brilliant.
It could be anything. Something that she had have done that we don't like.
How dare they?
That haka, maybe, because that haka is technically declaring war.
Is it?
So, you know, if John Howard was at a football game and the All Blacks did Hostile. The haka. Right, that's it. It's on.
It's hostile.
It's war.
Done.
Forget the polls.
Done.
Here's your ID card. We're away.
Armed only with an ID card? What if they've got guns?
Nice idea there, Mike.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
Hi there, guys. My idea was to get a new member of parliament, a bit like that Italian porn star a few years back.
Ah, yeah.
Yes.
Have her sort of standing with Johnny at the press conferences, and sort of each time somebody asks a difficult question, she just runs out and exposes the rest to everybody.
That's a pretty good idea.
Or perhaps if she's tall enough, perhaps she could just rest them on his head. Every time he speaks, it's just, what, sorry?
And it also doubles as one of his Phil Spector wigs. Today I'm wearing breast.
I can't answer that. Check out the shelf.
Whoa!
All right, that could work. Or maybe one of the existing sitting members, as it were, could, you know, go the Ron Jeremy. No, it's hard to think of one.
Which one? Jeez, that really sort of lizard-faced fellow that's always behind Howard on the news. You're looking at Howard, you go, geez, then you look behind him. And there's a Komodo dragon. It's the Minister for Fishing or something.
Just snatching flies from the sky with his tongue if you slow the footage down on Order in the House. These are great ideas. More of them, please.
Mal, how are you?
Hey, how you going, fellas?
Excellent. What can they do?
I can try and tell the truth about stuff.
We're
going to tax the shit out of you, and then everyone will be thinking, what do they mean?
Mal... It's crazy. It's never going to happen.
Probably never work.
It's never going to happen. You're more likely to see John Howard wearing Norks as a hat than you are get some straight talk.
And it never works in the movies. You know, every 5 years, there's one out at the moment with Robin Williams.
Person of the year or whatever.
And the plot is always, it was Chris Rock last time, the president that tells the truth.
Yeah.
Yep. And then it always ends up in a heartwarming distraction involving a dog.
Nobody wants that.
No, it doesn't work in the movies. It might not work in real life.
Thank you, Mal. Hi, Mick. How are you?
Another one.
Mick, hey, man, what are they going to do?
I think use some classic right-wing tactics like at a bachelor party.
Yeah.
Get Johnny and parliamentary hit team, Tony Abbott and a few out of their Hitler Youth, to grab Kevin, take him down to Fish Week with a couple of salubrious ladies and take a few snappies in dubious positions and then spill it to the papers.
I love it.
Wow.
I love it.
It's a five-step plan.
So hang on. So Ruddy's leaving the house for the day. And then all of a sudden, Johnny's got him in a sack and they put him in the back of a combi, drive him out to Fishwick, all the photographs, cover him in lube, that kind of thing, and then away they go?
Yeah, works
brilliant.
For me.
Works for you. The mayor. We're speaking of the mayor of Brisbane. How are you, sir?
It's Ed Harris. He's the mayor of Brisbane, isn't he still?
Hey, Mick, that is a great idea, sir.
Have we got time for Mark over there from Wollongong?
Mark, are you there? Sorry, Mark.
Yes.
Mark, are you there? What are they going to do?
John Howard, it'd be like Star Wars. He could be Jabba the Hutt and get a woman up and stand saying, a vote of no confidence in Johnny Howard.
Okay. I'm not sure if Jabba the Hutt is a good look for Howard, but I see what you mean. Like that big raked parliament in the Star Wars.
Oh, yes.
Films.
Now I remember.
And we've already established that Philip Ruddock would make a good
Palpatine.
Senator Palpatine.
Wonderful Palpatine.
Star Wars, a vote of no confidence.
Yeah, not bad.
Too many good ideas. Mm. We'll submit them all to John Howard.
Will we?
Yeah, except, you know, our sister station, PLPSFM, Patterson Lakes Primary School. They had John Howard, the real John Howard, on as a guest. Yeah. We should get some footage of that. He did his top three dinner party guests. The kids are going, who would you want?
Who were they?
And he went, Ricky Ponting. I'd like an international leader, Bang Bang Udiono, and my wife.
Oh,
wow. How's that for a dinner party? John Howard, his wife, Ricky Ponting, and Udiono.
Wow. Is that like a double date? Ricky and Bam Bang have hooked up?
What's distressing about it is that he's one of the people who could organise a dinner with whoever you like.
That's right.
And he's gone with Bam Bang.
And the missus.
And punters.
And punter. And you can imagine Ricky's phone's like, don't answer it. I know. No, don't. He's puts it on private number. I know it's John. I know. Hello, John. No, look.
And the kids.
I've got to play, man. I can't come round.
The kids put him in the hot seat, you know, they did with us.
Yeah.
And they say, which would you want, this or that? And they go, long pants or shorts? And Howard, without even thinking about it, goes, shorts.
Hey.
Hat with propeller on the top. Great suggestions, everybody. We'll be back in the next hour with some cringing embarrassment and Ryan Shelton.
Get this.
The equivalent of 4 martinis, 12 glasses of wine and 2 tequila shooters in 2 hours.
Brought to you by Alex and his 2 cats, Flash, who plays hard to get, and Winston, who's...
a dirty man whore.
Hope you like the show, guys. In the next hour, dead mice and string dangling.
What I want, cause I can. If I don't, because I wanna. It's the second hour of Get This. Be ignored by the stiff and the bored, because I'm gonna. And Ryan Shelton's here, give him a round. Ryan, thanks for coming in again.
Thanks for having me again. I feel so wanted when I get invited on here.
Don't
so
you loved. Look, don't do it yet, but you've got something hidden in your shirt. What's...
yeah, I am. Well, it's a present. It's a present for the team, but I know that Ed will like it the most.
A kitten.
It's a flat kitten.
And I
went down to the servo just before I got here to try and find just some wrapping paper.
Oh, yeah.
And all I could find was just gorilla dog wrappers.
Oh,
so wow. I didn't want to use them.
Okay. And, of course, the 1.5 metre lolly snake.
Oh.
So many people who come in here, and I'm sure you're like all of our guests, say, why doesn't Triple M play more of the Hooters?
The Hooters? On the Blowfish?
No, not Hootie.
Oh.
The Hooters. Can you name one of their 2 songs?
Oh, no.
That one about the zombies, wasn't there?
Yeah, All You Zombies and the one we're about to play.
All You Zombies. Yeah. I like that one.
I've never heard of them.
It's a heavy journey, that song.
All right.
Let's play All You Zombies.
Sadly, we've got the other one here at Triple M. I just danced, apparently, for some time. That's the Hooters here at Get This. It's the second hour on Triple M. And, yes, another fake round. Why not for Ryan Shelton? You've seen him on Thank God You're Here and Real Stories and Other Things.
I'm just ticking over, like, that Hooters.
Yeah.
I didn't realise there's a couple of Hooters that I was thinking of, but that's the Hooters.
You were thinking of the popular restaurant chain. Hey, you've managed to get past security, past the metal detectors, the sniffer dogs, Lee Simon and his taser. He's ready to take anyone down who's causing trouble.
Nasty piece.
With something hidden on your person. What is it?
In December, I went overseas.
Mm-hmm.
While I was there, did meet up with Mr. Cavalli.
Yeah.
Vegas.
For some Vegas action.
Oh, wow.
But before that, I was just in a store in New York, and I found this thing, and I saw it, and I was like, that is a Cavalli gift.
I'm really excited.
And it's something that everyone can participate in on the show.
It's mine.
It is.
Here
Mr. Marsden, are you ready for the fanfare?
Yeah. Nah.
Desktop ping pong.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Basically ping pong on a midget scale.
It is small bats, normal ball, small net with suction cups. I think from your reaction, are you speechless?
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Doesn't happen very often.
Boy.
Now you can't eat it, Ed, unfortunately.
Well, we'll see. Some sauce.
I mean, level of difficulty would increase, I would have thought.
See, the thing about this is, is it's got your traditional smooth side for spin, and then the other side of the bat, it has the dimples for the power shots as well.
I dare say they thought of everything.
This is just, I mean,
okay.
Mobile phones are getting smaller, nobody cares. Computers have gotten smaller, nobody cares. Finally, science has put itself to good use.
And you'd appreciate this.
This is amazing. I can feel it leading towards a mini table tennis tournoi.
Oh,
because, Ryan, you were part of the much vaunted table tennis tournament on this show last year at Debacle, if I remember.
I had a ball.
We could get that midget gang to come in and play against Ryan and I. Yeah,
the Mexican midget gang.
Kuala Lumpur.
Pardon me. Sound the gong.
What did you...
He's been accidentally racist.
If there was one thing that I remember thinking when we were playing that table tennis tournoi, I was like, this is too big. This is a big table. I can't reach anything.
So, I mean, this is bench top tennis.
Yeah,
this is, you know, corridor tennis.
All right, write it up on the website and we'll never get round to doing it as traditional. You went to Vegas. Now, what was I got married in Vegas. It's a top spot. There's so much to see.
Oh, it's fantastic. It is one of those places that, looking at it, when you see it on TV and you see photos, you think a part of you thinks that's too cheesy. That's not what it's. I'm not that sort of a person. But the great thing is, You are that sort of a
yes,
person.
Yes, you are.
Everyone is.
Big time.
You've just got to dig deep and say, yes, I am Mr. Vegas.
Yes, I want to go and look at the tigers that are sitting still at the Luxor wishing they were dead. Yes, I'm going to take some flash photography of their sad, sad faces.
Yes, I love the sound of poker machines. I do like it.
Yes, I'm going to spend 3 hours discussing whether I thought the Hard Rock Cafe Casino or Hooters had a bit of feel to it.
And then did you go to one of those casinos where it's just always daytime, like Caesar's Palace has that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the best thing about Caesar's Palace is that the casino bleeds out into the shopping mall. Mm. So there's real joint. So the pokey machines go out the door of the casino and right up the sort of main drag of your shopping mall.
And is that where they've got the sky painted on
so
the roof?
You think it's 2 in the afternoon at all times. But what that also means is that technically the whole place is licensed. So you'll see people taking their drinks to the shops.
Yes. You know what the greatest thing about that is? Is that they have these things called meter margaritas.
I've seen that.
Yeah, where people have these massive like yard glass.
Yard
things.
Glass margaritas.
Yeah, like in like fluoro yellow plastic. Mm. And it's hung around their necks because they're so heavy. And they just walk around town, like down the main strip with these huge margaritas.
And you'll see them in Shoe Town. Trying on shoes with a yard glass margarita remain, just propping the yard glass to try against the shoe.
But they're so disgusting that I don't think many people actually drink them. People get so mesmerized by the excitement of having a meter margarita. If it wasn't alliteration, they wouldn't buy it.
So true.
So many things. So as Tony Wilson said, that's how Santo Santoro became a senator.
Like ping pong.
Australians love alliteration.
Sure do.
All right, well, that's the surprise.
Tell you what, though,
way.
If you want to see some dancing, go to a nightclub on New Year's Eve with Ryan Shelton.
Yeah.
Feed him full of Red Bull. He was literally, while the people were having sex in the booths in the nightclub in Vegas, Ryan was literally the last person dragged off the dance floor.
Well, I like to dance.
And locked in a cage for a season. We're going to be back with more in a moment on Get This. We are, really. Will do. Thank you, Jet, here at Get This for Hell the Nation on Triple M. Ryan Shelton is here with us. Hey, what are you doing? Are you on, were you involved in Rove? This is the new look.
Yeah. I do a bit of behind the scenes work on Rove, and every now and again when Richard and us writers are called upon, we do sketches and things like that. So that will be happening again this
year. Are you writing anything for Richard?
Writing for him personally?
Yeah, a vehicle. Because
I haven't assigned anyone to Richard yet.
I do need a vehicle. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I think, I mean, sort of like, you know, Pete and Rove, they get people who those writers are good, but Richard hasn't yet, I don't think, selected the writer worthy of writing his material.
I see what we're saying here.
To make friends in that.
So, like last year when you were the pantsless Mel Gibson abusing people in traffic, was that something you wrote for yourself?
That was a team of 15 people came up with that.
Oh, wow. Big tech.
Yeah. And then I had to come in and improve on it.
We threw that to the Everybody Loves Raymond room and they threw it around for a few weeks as well. It was some funny situations.
Because Richard claims he's going to be sort of the Rove show's equivalent of Dr. McDreamy.
Yeah, that was my idea. Or Dr. McSteamy, I can take each one.
McMarsland sort of thing.
Dr. McMarsland.
Grey's Anatomy.
And, you know, he's not giving much away about the new format. So what is it? It's 8:30.
Sunday nights.
I mean, can you do less at 8:30? Does there have to be less blue talk? Or?
Talking about the 9:30 watershed language. I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming. It certainly wasn't much language last year that I can remember, except from Harrison Ford.
Look, I've heard it's essentially...
strangely.
Harrison Ford, yeah.
I've heard that it's basically a knockout rebranded.
Well, that is something we didn't want to tell everyone as yet. It's going to be a surprise.
Oh, dear.
I think it's obvious.
Oh, yeah.
What else would you do?
Well, I just know that there's been a lot of pontoons and a lot of sort of grease heading out towards the studios, and I'm wondering what they're for.
You know, we play a lot of music on this show. Not as much as we're supposed to, but a lot of music.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've ever had a reaction to a piece of music as when we played the It's a Knockout theme that time.
Yeah.
We should dust that off, have that
through
later.
Through the roof. That'd be great.
Just while we're talking telly, there's... I love a reporter with an interesting name.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
There's Channel 9 has Jonathan Creek.
I think Channel 7, yeah. And there is a newsreader, I'm pretty sure I have this correct, Charmaine Tragoon.
Ooh.
That is exotic. That's
Anton Enos.
Yeah. Channel 10 News has Lisa Goddard Rolls. Lisa Goddard Rolls, doesn't she?
Gareth Borum. Yes, he does.
Paul Bongiorno.
I think on an English show, which is years old now, which you might have seen, the Day Today on Brass Eye.
Yeah, yeah, Chris Morris's gear. ABC's never shown it, but don't get me started.
Well, they did these American correspondent stories where they had the female American reporter, and I always loved the name that they used, Barbara Wintergreen. Such a good American reporter name. Beautiful. Barbara Wintergreen.
Thoughtful.
Yeah.
There's a great one on. This is a story about Mimi McPherson. Let's not worry about the details of that story. This is from Channel 10.
She was also fined $1,050. If she doesn't pay, she could spend 21 days in jail. Summer Burke, 10 News.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
Shouldn't she be signing off like this?
She was also fined $1,050. If she doesn't pay, she could spend 21 days in jail. Summer Burke.
Makes me feel fine.
Wouldn't that catch on? She just had a band singing that behind her every time.
Sills and Croft.
But hey, it's Lisa Goddard who rolls. Wouldn't you like to roll with that Lisa Goddard? Let's do it next.
On Get This.
All right. Thank you. Case closed. Lenny Kravitz here at Triple M. It's Get This Around the Nation. Ryan Shelton is with us. Let me just give some sizzle to that Real Stories DVD. Is it coming out yet?
Yes, it is going to come out eventually. We haven't got an exact date yet, but it is with the people that make the DVD. Yeah, so
people
they,
are not quite right, perhaps.
No, they've got it coming. It's all coming. Right, it's the never-ending DVD, which is what we like to call it.
Very underrated program, that one. But let's not talk about that, because we're talking about cringing embarrassment. What's this about, Ed? Oh, he's having a sandwich. You've got to time mate. The snacks for during the songs here.
I mean, there's one right there.
Hit the music. There it is. We want to play that because I know you thought of this idea, Ryan. Independent of us, this music. Do you find you just have it going off in your head when certain situations arise?
Well, there was a time when I went nuts on Curb Enthusiasm DVDs, and I had like a weekend of it.
Great.
And then the week after, whenever I found myself in, I could hear it, the boom, 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 in my head, get like I've got a soundtrack for my life. Which I don't. Sounded like I did.
Just bring it out.
Just make that clear. I don't have a sound.
Oh, Ed Cavalli's back with us.
Hi, guys.
It's a big mouthful.
I underestimated Lenny's...
He's wearing a bib around his neck. He thought I would do my traditional 3 minutes of waffle before I threw to him.
I did. I knew I was in trouble when you didn't pick up a newspaper story with pink all over it. I thought, oh, hang on. He's going to ask me a question. Hey, the reason we're bringing it up is I thought of it because we went and saw Hot Fuzz. Ryan and I were both at the Q&A session before the guys came in on the show. And then people get up and ask their questions, and I can't handle it.
It's not like you've got up yourself and asked a question and you're embarrassed by your own...
It's displaced embarrassment. Yes. You're embarrassed for the guy that's got up and said, well, you know, my synopsis. And it gets right inside me and tears me out. But you love it, right?
It's one of those sort of things that I love seeing, not necessarily seeing people squirm, but seeing people... They should be squirming, but they're not. That whole thing. I find it so intriguing that they think that that's okay what they're doing.
It's just someone like...
And it's obviously not.
It's not. Like someone jumping into the ocean and just confidently swimming towards the horizon. Like, well, I'll get somewhere in the end. Don't worry about me. You know, I think really dodgy stand-up is one thing. I used to... run the theatre sports at Sydney University.
Yes.
That's where... And that was just, you know, wow. Wow. You know what I mean? 3 minutes. 3 minutes is a long time, Tony.
Yes,
it's a long time when someone's doing an opera about, you know.
It's when a stand-up, like I would never want to bag out stand-ups.
No, they're the best.
Love to be able to do it. But I always cringe when you hear, what's the deal with airline food? What is the deal with that?
I think that deal was sorted out by Jerry Seinfeld back in 89. But people keep reopening the file. You know, until something new comes along in airline food, let's just put it to bed.
Or how about this? Audience participation.
Yeah.
Oh, that gets me so...
I hate that as well.
Do you?
I hate audience participation.
When people get up and they get that look like, this is my big chance, and they've got their boring family in from somewhere boring, and they're going to show off to them, it's just...
If I have a hunch that there's going to be audience participation in a show, I won't go.
Really?
I'll miss the show because of it.
Really?
Yep, because I can't enjoy a show if I go into the theatre and I'm put on an aisle. because if I'm on an aisle, I'm like, yeah, they're going to, and there's going to be that awkward thing where they walk past you. And, oh, no, no. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Suddenly Shane St. James has got you on stage and you're barking like a dog.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean, Ed, that sort of embarrassment where you want to get up and apologise for the person
just,
asking the question.
And just apologise for everyone involved.
We saw one like years ago, I think Santo or Snato Garo still has it on tape, Max Walker interviewing Danny DeVito about Throw Mama from the Train. And he clearly hadn't seen it. He'd seen the ad where the person gets hit in the face by a frying pan. So it was 10 minutes of, I mean, what was the frying pan made out of? Did you use a rubber frying pan on that one, Danny? And he kept getting the names of all the films wrong. It was Throw Mama Up the Train. And I left, you did Jewel Up the Nile. And you're sitting at home going, oh, I just want to call Danny DeVito and say we're not all like this.
This is what I'm talking about.
I had a miniature one of those, a miniature one. There was an article in the Rolling Stone about Quentin Tarantino, and it had a shot of him sitting in his lounge room. All the bongs had been hidden, obviously.
Fair.
But I love that thing where you can see what books people have got on on their show. You can see what DVDs. And he had a stack of new DVDs that he was obviously going to watch, and on the top was Dirty Deeds.
No.
And I just went, oh, no, don't watch that. Oh, don't watch that. $12.5 million action film that ends with a bloke being thrown to some pigs. That's the end of that movie. A car chase in a back alley because they couldn't afford a period car chase. So it's sort of like a homicide style. Yeah. Keep the camera tight. Lovable Paul Chubb getting kneecapped by Brian Brown. Why are we meant to love Brian Brown in that film? Because we loved him in Two Hands, apparently.
We love him in a hat.
Yeah.
Okay, anything.
It's displaced
this
embarrassment.
And someone owns it. You don't know who, but you know it's out there.
Sorry, I went off the running sheet, so I've got cringing embarrassments.
It will accept any kind of embarrassment, really.
Well, this is interesting. I went to Sexpo a couple of years ago.
Tell us about that, brother.
Oh! Got the music cued?
for a radio show.
Don't lie!
I had to go for the radio show. It was the one that the late night sex show.
The sex show.
That's what Max Walker called it. You're doing that up the date show, Sue Rich. Is that a rubber frying pan, mate?
And it was the first Sexpo on a nationwide run. So a lot of the media were there, and I was evidently walking in the background of some Vox Pops. A lot of people around the country, friends of mine, thought I was there at Sexpo to get my own individual kicks. So all kinds of calls from mums and aunties and uncles.
They ask you what you got them.
All right, let's throw it open to the listeners. Have you been cringing in embarrassment, possibly just listening to this show? Let's eliminate that right
now. Let's get rid of that.
I lost a few callers.
Anything I may have done in my past on stage or in your personal life, listeners? Let's get rid of that right now.
Call us. Tell us when you were red-faced. 133353.
Get this.
Men who've behaved badly and the women who find that behaviour very attractive.
Brought to you by John Leeson, who reckons the PM's emergency landing was staged. The propellers had stopped turning. The cameramen had time to position themselves outside. And every... Who's that in the booth? What? No!
Get this around the nation on Triple M. Ryan Shelton is here, and who's cringing in embarrassment? Ed Cavill.
Kane, how are you?
G'day, guys. I'm good.
Yeah, talk us through it.
Basically, any time, it's not a real life thing, but any time David Brent is on screen in the office.
They are experts.
Crossover thing.
That is a weird crossover, isn't it? It's The Office with this music.
Walls are falling down. What is the moment that was the most hard to sit through for you, do you think?
Well, the first one that came to mind for me is when they get someone in the first series to come in and help with training the staff, and he takes over the meeting and sings his own song playing his guitar.
Free Love Freeway.
That's the best episode ever, I reckon.
And I think if you get, is it the DVD of the Christmas special, David Brent does a
film clip.
A film clip for that song with Noel Gallagher.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if we could get that song on the show?
Wow.
Free Love Freeway. Yeah,
didn't test well.
You know what I implore everyone to do, and a lot of people have written it off, but the American version of The Office is something that, you know, Channel 10 showed a few episodes, and they were the same scripts as the English one, but I would say on air that the American one is possibly as good as the English one.
But what's the story? You've got to get through the first few, because I just saw the first one and it was so disgusting. It was like seeing somebody, you know, spray painting graffiti on the Mona Lisa.
You've got to get through it.
Yeah, you've got to.
Second series and third series are just brilliant.
I'm going to go with him here.
Thank you, Ryan.
Fair enough. Kane, thank you. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, not bad.
What happened?
couple of years back when Nancy Cartwright was out here doing the My Life as a 10-Year-Old Boy show, so she did the whole show, and at the end she had a Q&A.
Yeah.
Now, you probably guess that someone decided to do their best attempt at a Professor Frink impersonation.
Oh. Give it to him.
Everyone, you could just feel it. Just go, God, no, please don't. Oh. No, oh, he's done it.
Yes.
It's just, you don't know where to turn. Yeah. You know, like you wish like the big hook, you know, like the old vaudeville hook would just come out of nowhere and drag him out of there.
Oh, yeah. I did that with Harry Shearer was out here for Frontline.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife had to drive him somewhere, so I was in the car.
Uh-oh.
And everyone except the driver was a bit pissed. And he said, I have to get to my hotel. It's down here. And then we couldn't find our way to this. And we've seen the hotel. And I've gone, yes. Oh, no.
No, you've done
and
it.
Then I've gone, oh, I'll never. And then he saved me by doing an excellent. And so it was all like, it was just letting you know it's all right. Yeah. It's happened before. Yeah. We're a bit drunk.
Gosh.
I'll talk you down. It's going to be fine.
Jesus. Yeah, that was close time.
Very and you got sued by The Simpsons the next week.
Hi, Brendan. How are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Great, man. What happened?
Well, I also went down to Sexpo with a couple of mates.
Yeah, I saw you there.
Yeah.
And then
it's amazing.
We just headed over down to Crown afterwards to get a bite to eat.
Yeah.
And a bit of the crowd was following, you know. And all of a sudden, this girl's at the ATM in front of everyone, probably the most packed place at Crown, out of her bag full of bloody vibrator.
Oh.
In front of everyone, and it's rolled away.
And did it switch itself on and start buzzing?
All of a sudden, everyone's diving on it.
Like 5 cents rolling down the foots on it.
Would you rather have 5 cents or yeah?
Well, there you go.
And Brenda, did the owner have a line to cover it?
Oh, mate. I think her face, everyone just felt bad for it. You know? I was going to pick it up and say, look here.
Look here.
We should have started like throwing at each other, keepings off. Well, that would have been good.
Keepings off the vibrator.
You are a gentleman.
But see, our phone in the first hour, that's a good distraction for John Howard. If the polls are bad, just have a bag with a dildo fall out of it.
Roll away.
I think people are talking before the dildo falls. Not dildo, the vibrator falls out of his handbag. Why is John Howard carrying a handbag?
Doesn't matter. That's distracted you from the polls.
Yeah, yeah,
the visual of him with a handbag over his shoulder.
Howard's got the buzz.
Great
there we
callers.
Go.
We have to play some music. Please don't go away, listeners. We'll be back with more cringing embarrassment in a moment. I'll get this. Got no idea how to wind that one up. Thank you, Eskimo Joe, New York here. Get this, it's Triple M, and we have more embarrassed callers. Ryan Shelton is here. He wants to be part of the embarrassment.
Mm. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good.
A funny story.
Great. Well, let's hear it. That'd be great.
Funny story. You haven't called John Laws, so that is appropriate.
It's actually my sister's engagement party many years ago. My grandfather just got brand new hearing aids, and so you know how they are. They're a bit loud when they got new hearing aids. And she had international students staying with her, so they were at the party. Throughout the whole speech, get the bloody Japs out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Take the Japs, they shouldn't be here.
Oh,
yeah. That is
and
wrong.
How did that go down?
Well, then we all had different timetables scheduled to look after him in the corner for the rest of the party.
Right.
In turns to entertain him.
And only three partygoers were bayoneted. Fantastic. Thank you, Julie.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
G'day, guys. How you going?
You're really good, man. What happened?
When the movie As Good As It Gets came out, I think it's Greg Kinnear, is that who was in it?
Yeah.
He was doing interviews, and there was one on TV, and the lady interviewing said, now I hear when you were on set, you used to do a great impersonation of Jack Nicholson.
Oh.
And he said, yeah, but I can't do that, I'll get in trouble. And she goes, oh, come on, please. And he goes, you know, no, I can't be doing that, clearly doing the impersonation. And she said, oh, well, obviously you don't want to do it, so we won't force it out of you. And the rest of the interview, every question you could tell, the only thing on his mind was that I can't believe she didn't realise I was doing it.
Well, we see a lot of that. That's a beauty.
Wilkins has made a career out of stuff like that. Richard Wilkins has got that stuff down.
The Oscars red carpet.
That is just, it's unwatchable.
It is like watching The Office or Curb Your Enthusiasm. You know when it's so embarrassing you have to go into another room
and just listen. That happens to me all the time.
Just make a sandwich.
I've got to type away on the computer. It's Richard.
It's the comedy equivalent of a really scary part of a film. Yeah. It's like, just tell me when it's finished and I'll come back in.
Who else is embarrassed?
Ross, how are you?
Ross?
Ross, is it? Oh, Andrew, maybe.
All right. Either one, we're embarrassed.
Yeah, is that Andrew?
Yeah.
How are you guys?
Hey, man, what happened?
All right, I'll set the scene for you. I've got a four-year-old son, and we've had real problems with him sleeping in our bed. Mm. Anyway, I've gone overseas, and my wife has picked me up at the airport on my return, and my son at the top of his lungs right next to the baggage carousel has yelled out, "Don't worry, Dad, no one slept with Mum while you're away." Whole place went quiet.
And was he telling the truth?
Oh, I certainly hope.
Well, we've got it. No.
Wow. One more? Ross, no.
We're going to be so embarrassed if we've lost Ross.
We've lost Ross, and Ross was herding swans across the road as well, and they replayed it 100 times.
Well, give ourselves the music.
Yeah, oh, well.
That's how every episode is.
We've earned it.
Thanks to everyone who called. Great stories, but we've had a lot of requests for some of that scary testimony from Peter Costello. Have you heard any of his evidence against Kevin Rudd, Ryan?
Bits and pieces. Probably not the way that I'm about to hear it right now, possibly.
No, it's a new version of the old evidence. Brum, brum, brum. Coming up next on Get This. That's Eagle Eye Cherry Save Tonight here at Get This. Live table tennis in the studio. It's miniature table tennis. Our guest Ryan Shelton has brought in a mini table tennis set. How's it playing, Ed? Happy?
Look, it's beautiful. The bats are responsive. The table is hexagonal, which is creating some amazing kind of angled corner shots. And Ryan, as usual, is as solid as a rock.
Wow, miniature table tennis. But in the meantime, we've had a lot of requests for the thoughts of Peter Costello. Now, you know, he's still obsessed with Kevin Rudd.
What? Yeah, just whatever you want to talk about. Kind of
busy here, Tony.
It doesn't matter what he's talking about. He keeps wheeling out his Kevin Rudd theories, and I don't know if you saw him at the press conference on the weekend just after the the plane incident in Baghdad. Here's what happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me begin by reassuring you: the Prime Minister is safe. You must have seen the footage of him running from the plane, screaming like a schoolgirl, waving his hands in the air. I mean, sure, some might suggest that that's, not prime ministerial behaviour. Maybe there's someone else, someone who might have done a better job of emerging from that plane, and someone with perhaps a better grasp of the economic fundamentals. But that's not for me to say, and I'd rather you wouldn't suggest such a thing. The fact is we're all slightly distracted by, obviously, the assassination attempt. And, it's over now. Rudd's been foiled. And, ask yourself this. Where was Kevin Rudd on the weekend? Who's to say he wasn't in Baghdad with a ground-to-air missile? Well, okay, maybe he's, controlling it from back here, in a restaurant in Perth. Well, he's sitting there, Brian Burke's working the joystick, Tony Mockbell's, navigating, Bradley John Murdoch's over at the salad bar, throwing in suggestions. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past Rudd and his cronies.
But the report says
what are you people pilots now? I mean, it's a plane. It's full of smoke. I mean, it's a confusing environment. Who knows if it was smoke? Maybe it was, a swarm of killer wasps that Rudd and Burke and Mockbell have, released from the overhead lockers. By remote control. Who's to say that they weren't planning to redirect that plane towards, an orphanage full of kiddies? Where's the team of inspectors round at his house looking for killer bees? I mean, wouldn't that be the place to start?
What about, Mr. Costello, we're on the point, what about these accusations about the death of Kevin Rudd's father? That's right, the hospital.
Well, what exactly was the young Kevin Rudd up to?
But at the hospital...
I'm sure we've all seen that film, The Omen. Oh. There's a lot of loose ends that need tying up. Let me ask you this, who was known as Dr. Death when he was working in Queensland?
Yes, but sure.
Who's to say Rudd himself? you know, nobody would stop the question. It wouldn't be until, you know, the garrotted corpses of various members of staff are found piled high in an airing cupboard at the basement of the hospital that maybe people start to put two and two together. Who was that young Dr. Rudd we had in last week? Well, you can't. You wouldn't be able to find them because he would have burnt them in his incinerator, along with you know, his buddies, you know, Mock Bell and Burke and Hannibal Lecter. Fictional. You mean like the story of why Rudd got thrown off the farm? Oh, well, that's, you know, we accept one fictional story, we turn our noses up at another. And we come around to election time and we say, do we want the common sense, you know, hand on the tiller, steady as she goes approach of Prime Minister Costello, Howard, or do we want Dr. Death strapped to a gurney? You know, using his tongue, which extends from his body a good 20 metres, and can strangle a kitty and slam them into a wall, splattering brains across a poor elderly person's pension book, and calling that policy. It's time to have a look at ourselves, I think. You know, a few people want that. Well, all I can say is, John Howard is safe. Kevin Rudd is a murderer.
Where is your evidence?
Which piece of news are you going to report tomorrow? My guess is it'll all be about the plane flight, and there won't be anything about Rudd and the rotting, stinking corpses piling up in his basement.
Mr. Costello,
and, you know, if you can't handle the truth, people, please stop asking me all these questions about Kevin Rudd. Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's time to go as we hear the strains of It's a Knockout.
Things I did not know about Kevin Rudd, to be honest. I'm surprised I haven't heard about that.
Hey, watch out.
How does he have access to so many killer bees, you're probably wondering. Ryan, when is Rove, that you're vaguely involved in, coming back?
April 1, it is back. Sunday nights.
On the 10 Network.
And luckily, there's nothing really big up against it at that time, so it should be fine.
Something about anatomy. And
Who knows? Who watches that rubbish show? Thanks for joining us today, and I think our key phrase was...
She was also fined $1,050. If she doesn't pay, she could spend 21 days in jail. Summer Burke. Makes me feel fine. 10 News.
We'll be joined tomorrow by comedian Sean Hughes from Ireland. And it's all thanks to As Yet Nobody.
Equally, absolutely false.